If I rule the world.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Queen Series podcast brought to you by Melanin Queens Organics and sponsored proudly by the Black Business and Professionals Association. I am your host, Elena Christine, and I'm excited. I am sitting down with Carlina Waugh. She is the CEO of Mini K Creations, and she's also the founder of The Biz Mixer. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Really good.
Thanks for asking.
Yes. I know that you've been doing a lot recently
because
you are like on the go 24/7. That is your thing.
Yeah. It's high event season right now.
Yeah.
So everyone is out and about.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very long winters in Toronto.
As soon as
the weather hits above 10 degrees, it's like, let's do all of the things. So then I get trapped.
Trapped into working.
Yeah.
Just funny. So for those of you who don't know, 10 degrees is Celsius is about, I don't know, Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
But it feels warm.
Yeah. The sun is out and you can probably wear a long sleeve shirt with no jacket.
That's not that great. But it's true.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the time of year where everybody, like you said, is outside and there's a lot of things.
Festivals every weekend.
Which is, I really enjoy this time in Toronto. I haven't been here very long, but I did experience this last year. And this is like a really cool time. And this is when I get to do a lot of like the exploring that I haven't done in Toronto either.
It's a fun time for sure. Toronto is a fun city in the summer.
Absolutely. So, okay, you've been working a lot. First, introduce yourself to those who may not know you. And talk about some of the things that you've been working on.
Yeah, so my name is Carlina, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
I am the founder of The Biz Mixer, which is essentially an event series that's focused on bringing creatives and entrepreneurs within the Peel region together and creating an environment where people feel like they can collaborate and we can bounce ideas off of each other. So we do a lot of business with each other within the group, which is amazing.
That is super
cool. And with that, I also have my event planning company that is actually a mother-daughter duo. So Mini K Creations is a mother-daughter duo. So I do work with my mom and we plan events for conferences, seminars, personal social events. And yeah, we've been doing that for a while now. I started out as an event assistant and now I'm kind of taking the reins as a succession as my mom wants to go into retirement early.
Wow.
So
she's like, you got this.
She's like, you got it. You take this over. It's your thing. Do what you want to do with it for the next few years. And it's just been exciting. It's been a really great 1.5 years being a CEO and there's just the momentum is there. So, you know, it's a good feeling.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that.
Because
it's hard for young CEOs out here on these streets.
Yep.
Like, I know.
Especially when you look much younger than you are.
Yeah.
So I can still get told I look like I'm 19. I'm like, no, can you please add 10 years on that? Put some respect on my age, please. So, yeah.
Well, it's still pretty incredible, you know?
Yeah.
And we wanted to talk a little bit of this episode about this idea of balance.
Yeah.
So as young entrepreneurs, as young CEOs, we are on go mode because, you know, we are our own bosses.
Yeah.
And we have, like, to some extent, full responsibility for our outcomes and ourselves. And we've accepted that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So part of that is now in life, being young and wanting to explore and wanting to do, like, really great things with our lives that don't really involve work but kind of do.
Like, it's like creative fun. It's like, this is
creative.
I'm having fun doing this, but it's also work.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can make a living off of it, that's amazing. That's literally like the thought process. Yeah.
So we wanted to get into this idea of balance a little bit more. So I just want to first, how do you, if at all, find balance between work and not work? Or do they, like you said, kind of just overlap all
the time? It's an interesting thing. Before I was in events, I worked in student services, so managing residence hall with students, and mental health was always something that was really important and something that we wanted to instill in students coming through. So there's always this talk of balance and self-care and how you can do
that's important.
And
yeah.
I guess especially going into entrepreneurship and business ownership, as you said, you determine how well or not so well you're doing, right?
Right.
You have full control over that. So I found that my life in terms of work and life, it just kind of blends together.
Like, wow.
It's almost like I can't really tell where one part begins and where
part
ends. It's very circular that way.
Yeah.
But I think when you're enjoying what you're doing, it's easier to accept that.
Yeah.
And just know when you need to take a pause as well. I think that's something that I'm really learning. Because there's so many opportunities. Like, as young entrepreneurs, we want to be a part of all of the things.
Right.
And all of the opportunities. There's so much out there that you can be a part of and kind of create and collaborate on. But knowing yourself and listening to your body as much as you can.
Yes.
Like,
oh my gosh.
I would love to do that thing, but I've also been working 14 hours all week and haven't slept. So maybe I should sleep in and just not do that one thing. But then FOMO comes in where you're like, on the social media feeds, like, oh, I missed out on that. So like also being okay with that, I think has really helped. But in terms of the balance, I just don't really feel like you're ever really balanced. I feel like,
oh my god,
no, because I feel like even the statement of work-life balance kind of makes you feel like there's an equilibrium, and I don't think at any point in life you're ever 100% equal balanced on a plain field like that.
Wow, that is a really interesting perspective.
Yeah,
because like I find that in my life the one thing that I'm trying to seek is balance.
Yeah.
So from your perspective, for there, like from your interpretation, for there never to be like it's unattainable kind of balance,
yeah,
then it's just like,
because I think what it is there's this pressure, because once of you course, have this idea that okay, I need to take care of myself, I need to be balanced, then it's like, how, like, what's the criteria? Like, what's the standard that is the, you feel that you're balanced? Does that mean that you're completely zen all the time and you're meditating all the time? Like, what does that mean, right?
Yeah, and it looks different for different people,
yeah,
which is important to mention as well, because this podcast is all about, like, self-care, self-love, and trying to find that balance in life and trying to, and just, like, hearing different perspectives and takes on just different lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's different for everyone.
It is different for everyone. So let's rewind a little bit, because we jumped right into young entrepreneurship and that's like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
But let's rewind and talk a little bit about how you got here in the first place. I did watch your video. That was awesome, where you talked about a little bit about your story.
Yeah.
And
you
took those 6 weeks in Jamaica and you're like, I don't have any money.
Just like, I'm gonna quit my job, and I don't really have a plan, but I'll figure it out.
Yes,
so I'm just gonna go on vacation
for 6 weeks.
Like, I just booked this because, like, that's, I could have stayed for 3 months, but then I was like, it's kind of excessive. I also haven't really planned for this,
So let's talk about that then. Let's talk about that whole process, because people don't know what I saw. So, talk a little bit about what that was like.
Oh, where to start? So. It's funny that we started out talking about self-care and balance and mental health, because that was part of why I pursued entrepreneurship. It was kind of a way out of the scenario that I was in currently.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. They went from one stressful moment to another. but yeah, essentially it was a decision I had to make for myself, like being in tune with what is going to be something that's going to also make me happy, but also I'm not going around and with my head cut off kind of thing, with a chicken head cut off type of deal. So when I made the decision to kind of slide my resignation letter,
what was that like?
It was really awkward.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. Were you tight with your coworkers and stuff?
Yeah,
your bosses,
I worked in a very small office, very small team. And to be quite honest, I had that resignation letter ready and I waited until the very end of the day. So I literally was sitting at my desk working the whole day.
Wow.
And just being like, okay, so before you leave, I'm going to just slide this over.
Yeah.
And I'm looking to be on a different path, no hard feelings kind of deal.
Yeah. How long were you at that job before you decided to leave?
I was there for 3 years.
Ooh, 3 years. That's
and
good time.
And two different roles. So, in my last year as a manager, and before that, I was full-time staff.
So were they, like, not even expecting you to do this?
They
like,
weren't.
You blindsided them?
They weren't.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah. That hurts. I hate that I'm laughing about that. They didn't know. No,
you know,
it's
fine.
It was fine. I think, a combination of the both, where it was kind of like, oh, we didn't see that coming, but okay, we wish you well. We know you'll
that's great.
Yeah, we'll know you'll be up to something great, and whatever is best for you, that's what you got to do. Like, life will go on, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
And that was a good lesson, too, to know that you're not ever contained into something. You always have the option to leave.
Did you, was it right time for you after like year three? Did you come to these realizations within yourself?
Yeah.
Do you think that you would have quit sooner if you came to these realizations earlier? That just the idea that you can quit at any time and life goes on?
Yeah, like if I heard that and also believed it. It's two different things.
That
people
are
like,
things.
You don't have to be here if you don't,
you don't
want to be there,
right?
Right. You can do something different. You have a lot of time left to change your path and decide what you want to do. But I think the fear and the feeling of letting people down, quote unquote, I think that probably kept me longer than I probably should have.
Wow.
But in that year, that extra year that I think I spent there, was the most learning that I did, and I still draw a lot from that time. Mm-hmm. And it has helped me in other situations where, whether it's part-time work, freelance work, working with clients, it's helped me kind of develop that sense of self and being able to say no, and knowing that same thing, like knowing that I don't have to put myself through any situation.
Wow.
Regardless of anything.
Yeah.
Because that job that I had, it was on paper, people are like, why are you quitting this
job?
Of
course, that's what they always say.
You have like all of the check boxes you have.
Of course,
why are you leaving? So I kind of translate that into what I'm doing now with projects and clients. It's like, no matter what it looks like on paper and how amazing it looks like, if it doesn't feel right and you're miserable through it, nothing that looks good on paper is ever worth it.
Wow. Yeah. So what was it that kind of like made you more aware of yourself and all of these things at year three in this job where you're just unhappy? Like, what was it?
I think the consistently supporting other people, because I was in a helping profession, and a lot of the time students, staff, people are coming to you with their concerns and what they're going through in life. So consistently having people walk through your office and you're supporting them, you're hearing yourself give the support to people over and over again.
Yeah.
And that you're having that reflective moment to be like, I'm literally in a similar situation as a student or a staff member, and I've just consoled them and given them support that way. So what makes myself less value? You know what I mean? It's like you give all this support and
course.
You give people a break, and you're easier on them to be like, yeah, understanding, and it's okay. And, you know, we don't know if everything will work out, but we can definitely work towards a better solution. So we're consistently giving that advice to people that are in some cases way worse off or going through a lot more, that you're like thankful that that's not your life.
Yeah.
It becomes really hard to be like, why can't I take my own advice? Like, why am I being more hard on myself than I am on with strangers?
Right? Yeah. I totally went through the same thing where I'm just like, I sound like it's almost like a disconnect when I talk to people, when I would talk to people in the past. It's like, I'm talking from a different place.
Yeah, it's like a different voice.
It's a different voice and it's a different feeling. But when you listen to the same voice that you're talking to people with, then things start to come together for you.
Yeah, it's the self-talk.
Yeah, the self-talk. And it's also like this idea of the self too.
Yeah.
So it's a very like intricate thing when you talk about the self and you talk about just like the ego and the self and the differences between the two and all of these things. Mm-hmm. So when you learn to listen to yourself, the self wants all the best for you, right? And that's what you use to talk to other people, because it's coming from a place that's rooted in like care and love, da-da-da-da. So when you learn to listen to that self, that same voice, and you get all of these nuggets, then it's like, things feel a little bit different now. Yep. My perspective is different. Mm-hmm. The way that I think about myself and my situation in life is a little bit different, too.
Yeah, for sure. And sometimes it takes a stranger to tell you that. Yes. For me, it was being in a hospital and a nurse telling me, whatever you're doing, you need to stop.
Really? So did you experience burnout?
I definitely experienced burnout.
Yeah.
And at the end of my university career, I experienced burnout again. So I knew what the triggers were. I knew what the signs were.
Yeah.
So the second time around when it was happening, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going through the pathway to burnout.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, I can handle it. I've been through it once. It will be okay.
Right.
But then it worsened. So going into a situation where this person knows nothing about me, nothing about my personal history, nothing about what's actually happening, and being able to tell me, like,
stop.
Physically, you're going to damage your body if you don't stop what you're doing.
It's
it's easier to accept that from someone who doesn't know anything about the context, and they're just basing off of the signs and what is the
facts.
Versus people who are in your life and they're hearing what's happening
or
what your experience is. So that was kind of like the reality check in me, to be like, okay, it's factual now. It's not just fiction or like in my mind or just something that is happening. It's like it's physically it's basically physically presenting itself.
Exactly. Yeah. Where do you think that the desire to like overwork or like to do too much to burn out comes from?
Both my parents are entrepreneurs, business owners. So growing up, I can't recall seeing my parents ever work for anybody.
Oh,
so family business.
Yeah.
And that's why I say the work-life balance. I don't think I buy into that because I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, that's why. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, so yeah. Growing up, whereas my friends would go home to play in the park, I would be going to a business to learn how to do petty cash and to do customer service. So in that, I was resentful at like 10 years old.
That's fair, yeah.
It's okay. I wasn't getting paid. It was volunteer. I wasn't working for money. Just in case there's anyone out there, it's like child labor. It wasn't child labor.
Right
no,
now.
It wasn't child labor. Don't doubt. I'm old enough now. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, so like coming home from school and having... instead of having that fun experience, being able to kind of learn those skills early on. Now I'm grateful for them.
Yeah.
When I was younger, it was kind of like sucky to be like.
Of course, you just want to
I don't go home after school. I go to my parents' business and they were there until they close and we go home and we just wake up and we do it again.
Oh my gosh. Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have siblings.
Did they also experience that?
They're much older. So my closest sibling is 11 years older than me. And I'm like the very last.
Oh, you're the baby.
Yeah, I'm the baby. So, and then in terms of the business, my parents' last business is essentially the span of that age gap.
Wow.
So I think in terms of children that had that full experience, yeah. I would say I probably had my brother and I probably had the full experience of what it was like to have parents that were business owners and trying different things and having that entrepreneurial spirit. Like even now my dad still freelances because he's a licensed electrician, so he still freelances, and my mom still freelances. We were in business together.
Yeah.
My brother also has a lot of projects that he's working on the side, so I think it's just in the blood to
of course
do that.
Yeah.
Which kind of helped that transition, is going from working for someone and just going full out into entrepreneurship. A lot of people are like, why would you think to do that over just getting another job or starting another career? But for me, it just felt like second nature. It was almost like when I told my parents, like, yeah, so I'm leaving here and I'm just gonna want to take the event planning full force. They were like, okay. it's almost
wow.
Like,
yeah. So they were just like, yeah, that makes sense.
Like, yeah, that makes total sense. We've been telling you that.
Really?
I don't know why you didn't listen to us.
Are they supportive? Well, of course, you're doing business with your mom.
Yeah, super supportive.
So they kind of taught you the ropes?
Yeah.
From when you were a little bit?
Yeah.
But
from seeing them coming up. But even now, my best business advice comes from my parents.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
You're lucky.
Yeah, I was like, I'm definitely very blessed. I feel like I have an unfair advantage sometimes. Yeah. But it's really been great. Like, even... our last event that we did was for over 800 people, and it was my dad MacGyvering the van to fit 80 centerpieces in the back of a van, and my brother packing it in and helping tear down and everything. So it was literally just all of us just getting it done, right? So it's just always been that way. Even with my events that I host monthly, my parents and my brother are at every event. They're always in the room.
So oh gosh, that's
that
beautiful.
Support.
Yeah, it is that support and that strong,
which is really important.
Yeah, it
especially
is
from family, because I find when you go into business and entrepreneurship, family and friends are usually you look to them for the most support.
Right.
But they're so used to seeing you as who you were before that that it's harder for them to kind of get who you are as a business owner.
Yeah.
So you don't get that support like you would want. But I think something that I've learned over the past year is like I can't really expect someone who's known me for 95% of my life up until now to get what Carlina as an entrepreneur is, because they've known Carlina just as Carlina.
Oh, let's talk about that though.
Yeah.
Like the inability for the people, like your friends and stuff, to not see you. Why is it that their perception of you doesn't change when you choose to change? I wonder about that too, because there are a lot of people. Well, I guess, you know, my friends kind of just... they are supportive and they're just like, oh my God, Elena is just whatever she chooses to do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to support it regardless, which I love. But there are those times when people can't rethink the way that they see you and have it like match the person that you are currently.
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of relate it to, say you have a bunch of coworkers, you're all working on the same playing field, and then someone gets promoted. Following week.
Oh, yes.
It's really hard for that transition, that dynamic to change quickly. It's almost like it has to catch up with itself.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So it's similar to that, where I've known you as this role, this person that does this thing, and now it's almost like overnight this has happened in their eyes. So it's really hard to be like, okay, so well, how do I interact with you? what does that mean for our relationship?
Right.
How is that going to impact what we had before? Like, it's that
right.
figuring out stage. And you have to remember, too, as an entrepreneur business owner, it probably took you a while to get to that point where you were ready. So if you take that into consideration, like, how long did it take you to see yourself as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, exactly.
Or business owner?
Yeah, yeah. It's food for thought. I guess, how long did it take me to see myself that way? Probably always, even when I wasn't.
Yeah.
I saw myself that way anyway.
Yeah.
So I guess I presented myself that way too.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, for my friends, they didn't really need to adjust because I always.
Yeah, that was kind of like.
That was my
yeah.
that was my energy always.
All the time.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing to think
it
of.
It is really interesting.
If you
to
reflect
think about.
On how long did it take me to start introducing myself as a business owner, entrepreneur?
True. Yeah.
Versus
and then,
I used to do this.
True.
Yeah.
Did you see yourself getting into entrepreneurship? Was it like written in the stars for you? Is that something that you wanted to do when you were younger, or was it just because it was so familiar to you, you chose
yeah.
that path?
Actually, no. When I was in grade 9, I wanted to be in broadcast journalism.
Yes, broadcast journalism.
When I left,
thanks.
Yeah, when I left high school, I wanted to be a genetic biologist.
Really?
So I started my degree in biology, and by the end of it, I ended up with a sexuality, marriage, and family studies honors major and a
yes.
minor in biology.
Yes.
So I ended up with a BA at the very end. So
wow.
I wanted to be a scientist. I wanted to do research and kind of combine counseling with the sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did an internship overseas, and I was like,
Where?
I don't want to be a biologist. In Jamaica.
Hey.
So yeah, I was in Jamaica for 2 months working in the biology department.
And what was it at the university?
At the Northern Caribbean University.
Okay.
In Manchester.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fun time.
Oh, I could imagine.
It was a really fun time. And I guess the only thing is when we got to the lab, I was like, well, this is really fun kind of. So it'd be like, okay, we're going to prepare these samples. And then we sat there, like, so what do we do now? He's like, we wait. It's like, okay, so now we analyze the samples, and what do? We wait.
We wait.
So it's almost just like the technology is great, but
it
makes certain tasks
mm-hmm.
that humans would have done kind of obsolete.
Ah, true. Yeah. yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So that was that, and then you went into your profession after the biology, the internship, you went into...
Yeah, so after that internship... I actually left early. I was supposed to stay for 4 months.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, bye.
I'm literally just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm homesick. Culture shock. I need to go back home.
Everything's different.
And then I had that period of like, do I really want to do this for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
So I literally came back home, went to my guidance counselor. Well, not guidance counselor. They're not called that. University. I went to my advisor.
Yes.
And was just crying in his office, like, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm,
I'm now in year 3 going into my what's supposed to be my last year
right.
of undergrad.
Yeah.
And I'm wanting to change a whole degree. And I've already done summer, so my parents are like, and OSAP is just like, so just so you're aware, we only give you this much.
Yeah,
so
OSAP, which is financial aid for those of you who
yeah.
aren't aware. Canadian financial aid is OSAP.
Yeah, I think it's the same struggle across the board when
it's
it comes to
same.
Financial assistance and,
yep,
and post-secondary.
Everybody is struggling.
So essentially they were like, yeah, so that's all good that you want to figure your life out, but we're not giving you any more money. So
right,
you figure
yeah.
that out.
Wow.
So having to have that conversation about, yeah, I'm not going to finish the biology degree. I'm going to take an extra year. But we also have to pay for my degree out of my pocket. So, yeah.
So you ended up changing it to the...
So it's shortened to SMF. It's
SMF.
A really long degree.
Yeah.
I usually just tell people it's family studies.
Family studies. Okay.
So basically focused on human development and dynamics. So we learned a lot about how development works from... sexuality perspective, which was good having a biology background, because when we got to the
yes.
biology part, we're talking about sexuality and how that
oh I got this
yeah I was like, yeah, I know about zygotes and genes, and everyone's like, ah, I don't know. I'm like, I'm doing this in my other biology class.
There you go.
It's great. Yeah, so we learned about development from a science perspective as well as systems and psychological perspective. So it was a really good interdisciplinary way of learning about how we are and how we think and how human behavior is and how we kind of interact with each other. A lot of that definitely comes into play now with relationship building for me. I think
I love the connection.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask that if
yeah.
you now see a connection between the degree that you got in your profession as an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
because I totally think that the kind of like the standard trajectory that they create when we get our degrees, like, oh yeah, if you get a law degree, you're gonna become a lawyer. Or if you do this,
yeah.
you're going to be that. like it's very narrow, but once you think about the possibilities that like mm-hmm. instead of just like, oh, it's not completely a waste. So when you think about it a little bit differently.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Like I recently went back to talk to my professors because it was a very small program, so most of us knew each other. Mm-hmm. And they're like, so like what are your thoughts about how we consistently made you think about your thoughts? They were very intent on critical thinking. That was great. Almost like, okay, read this article and then tell us your thoughts. You have this belief. Let's track why you have this belief and where that started in your childhood. So it was a lot of like, I don't want to think about my beliefs and why I have them. I just have them. Like, okay, but why do you have them? How did you come to this conclusion? So a lot of that critical thinking is useful in all areas.
Absolutely.
So it was kind of that.
That is so good.
Yeah, it's kind of like that tail between the legs thing where they're like, see, we told you. Yeah. You were upset at us when we made you do these exercises, mm-hmm, but now they're super benefiting. Useful. Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of like when I think on another podcast with Zakiya Hutchinson, we talked about the developmental, because I was under the impression, well, I've stated that I think the academia in general is problematic. Mm-hmm. Like, I even think it's like, you know, scammy in a little bit, like a little sketchy.
Yeah.
And I said, and she talked about how when you're like from up until you're 5 years old, you're taught a very specific curriculum mm-hmm. that is focused more on the critical thinking and developmental stages. And then for whatever reason, we deviate from that and we talk about like math, science, and readings and stuff that really doesn't follow up or build on what we've learned when we were a little bit.
Yep.
So it's really funny that your degree specifically talks and makes you think about those like critical development things that we learned when we were like up until 5 years old in the traditional education system.
Yeah.
So
it was definitely how they developed that program, and I think it's probably one of its kind how they designed it. But a lot of the professors are in the industry in terms of psychology, so most of them actually do counseling.
See?
So they get the development. So I remember my favorite class was play, mm-hmm. and essentially it was talking about parent-child relations. And one class we literally just had to pretend we were 5 years old.
Yes.
And play.
Oh.
And talk about that's like.
That's awesome.
Right? So it was just a really interesting program that we went through and just having that hands-on experience and having conversations and hard conversations, especially with people that you don't know, was a really good exercise.
Yeah, and I like that you made the connection between that and entrepreneurship, because when you have that emotional intelligence and you build upon that, you're more likely to be a successful business owner.
Yeah, it's true. I was just having a conversation with someone the other day where we were talking about how you can learn the task, but in terms of like being a good team player.
Yes.
These being are all able really to important. Like work with people.
These are all important things.
Conflict resolution.
Yes.
Like all of these things that they don't actually teach you.
Yeah.
Those are the things that it's hard to teach.
It's very hard.
So when you're coming
in
on a team of any sort, people are going
to
want to work with people they get along with.
Right.
So I know for me, when I was hiring, if I didn't like your personality, but you look good on paper, I'm going to hire the person who has a good personality that I can teach something.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that like society kind of teaches us that you should look good on paper. Like you got to polish up that resume.
Yeah.
You got to make sure that it's spick and span, and you have mm-hmm. to. And then they do like how to conduct yourself in an interview, be confident, But it can't just be like this false sense of confidence, because people that are emotionally intelligent and aware can really see right through that.
It's true. It's true.
It's very obvious. It's just like, I think you're pretending.
And the fact that you're pretending now leads you to believe that you can pretend later.
Exactly. Yeah. So all of these things that you've learned mm-hmm. in your traditional education, you know, history and stuff has prepared you for this right now.
Yeah.
So let's again get back to this idea of balance, mm-hmm. because I'm really intrigued by the idea that it doesn't exist by your understanding.
It's just not, balance is just not a word that's frequently in my vocabulary.
No way. Wow. Yeah. All right. So, you know, cause I told you that I was feeling super sick.
Yes.
And I almost felt guilty for like taking some time off. And I think that that's where balance came into play. Cause it's like, okay, I want to work and I want to do what it is that I need to do. But at some point, rooted in like, if we're going back to this idea of self-love and self-care, mm-hmm. it's unkind to myself.
Exactly.
To try to push myself beyond my limits just for the sake of getting this one task completed.
Yep.
But if physically I'm not well, it's unfair and unkind, and it's not indicative of the self-love that I want to build for myself to continue to do that.
It's true. It's true. And if you can compare, what am I like when I'm fully rested?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Things are, I'm taking care of myself and whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between that version of yourself and the version that's just struggling in terms of all those areas?
Yeah.
What is the output that you're able to achieve?
Right.
So it's almost like if you're working through that burnout or feeling sick or just not have or wanting to take a mental day.
Yeah.
If you're trying to work through that and you're kind of working against it, it's almost like you're spending all of this time just to also not really get the task done the way you'd want it.
Exactly.
So, like, I go through that and I'm like, oh, well, that was a terrible job. So I still have to do it over.
Yeah.
So
you do believe in balance.
You
can say it. It's okay.
I can say I believe in balance. I believe in listening to like where you're at. Because I feel like talking about balance from that perspective leads me to believe that it's a certain routine. And I think that's probably what I've just seen is that work-life balance means a certain routine. Like you get a certain amount of hours of sleep every night and you're making sure that you're eating this amount of meals a day. And that's probably just, I don't know, online propaganda of what work-life balance
means. Yeah. Or how we understand it.
But just knowing that not every day is going to be the same. And I think believing that more, then it has to look a certain way. And I think it's different being an entrepreneur because you're not having a set amount of hours that you're working every week.
Exactly. Yeah.
So your sense of schedule and balance is so different. Every week is different. Every day is different. So it's really hard to look at balance and self-care from a perspective of this is like a set amount of things I do every day, every week for care, because it's almost like for me, at least when I had that perspective, it's setting myself up for failure.
Mm-hmm. Cause you just don't work
that
way.
Then I feel like, oh, I didn't do those self-care things this week.
So it's another.
So now it's like, I didn't care for myself.
Do you think? Yeah. Think of it as just another task that you're adding to your plate. Oh, so that's how you understand what that
I think,
whole thing
yeah,
is.
I'm definitely the to-do list person.
Oh, okay.
So like literally like sometimes when I'm feeling like I'm not getting much done, I'd be like, okay, woke up.
Yeah.
Changed out of pajamas.
Progress.
Brushed your teeth.
Yeah.
Like, so sometimes it's like you're having a day like that. Or the task on the list today is like sleeping until noon.
Mm-hmm.
That's been something that after an event, I tell myself, don't wake up early. If you sleep in or you sleep the whole day, that is the one task you completed for the day.
Well, that's really great.
Yeah.
So I think that what it is you kind of taken this idea of balance and redefined it in a way
it's
that works.
It's very fluid.
It's a very fluid understanding.
It's not one thing. It's not schedulized, like every week I go to get my nails done. Like that's not.
No, yeah.
Even the thought of what people think is self-care, I think is bogus in some ways too. Like, how come self-care means I have to spend more money?
Exactly.
Yeah. Or it's on this spectrum of like, either you're spending money to care for yourself, quote unquote, or you're at home just watching Netflix and then you're just wasting time and being lazy. Like there's these two things. It's like you do or you don't. Like either, you know what I mean? So
absolutely. Okay. So what I'm hearing is it's not like a one size fits all, this idea of self-care. And it's also like I feel like you're just very aware of yourself. So you're just like, ah, it's bogus. Because you're so aware of what self-care means to you, and you're like in tune with your body in that way, so you're like, I know what it is that I need to do when I need to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not that nobody needs to like push this agenda of you have to get do a spa day or get your nails done or do whatever.
Yeah.
You're just like, no, that's not really what self-care looks like for you. So what does self-care look like for you then, just in a couple, because you gave a few examples.
Mm-hmm.
But just so we can understand a little bit more, what does that mean for you?
It can be as simple as I'm not answering my phone.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
I spend a lot of time online.
Yeah.
A lot of time on Instagram, a lot of time on my phone,
mm-hmm.
just by way of necessity and the nature of what I'm doing. And sometimes just being able to not pick up the phone and not answer anyone's requests for assistance or help.
Yeah.
Saying no to opportunities is hard, but it's an act of self-care. for me.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
I think
a big one.
It's hard.
Of course, it's really hard.
It's so hard, especially depending on what the opportunity is.
Of
Sometimes
course.
You're like, you have this perspective that, okay, like I'm hustling and
yeah.
I need to get as much opportunities on my plate as possible so that I can propel to the next ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about this recently on Instagram about, you know, the door will always be open.
That's right, yeah.
For other opportunities to come through. And if you're going to try and take an opportunity and not be at your best self and not caring for yourself,
right,
will
yeah.
that opportunity reap the same benefits if you just waited for the next one and you're fully 100, well, I don't even say 100%, 100% on paper
yeah.
to do it, right?
It's absolutely.
Because I've definitely taken on opportunities where I was like lack of sleep, mm-hmm. not in the best mood, whatever, and it just wasn't a good experience. And it was like, well, that time could have been better spent taking care of myself.
Yeah.
Maybe
exactly.
eating.
Yeah, I should eat.
Yeah, sometimes it's like these like simple things go to by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we can reframe our thinking of those simple things that we don't even take into consideration as caring for self,
yeah.
that is what self-care is. And then all of these other things can be like bonus.
That's dope. You know what? You're because I saw that when you posted on Instagram, like the door will always be open for opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think you've adopted this like abundance mindset.
Yeah.
That
it's a mindset thing.
Yeah, it's a mindset thing. That abundance is, you invite abundance into your life, so you never have to worry that you'll miss something that won't come back to you, because there are always things that come to you, because you're not operating with the scarcity mindset that you have to take every opportunity because you're afraid that another one won't come. But if you know that they will come, then you can.
Yeah.
Take that time out to do something else or say no and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
amazing.
It's
a mindset shift.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, I found like first year of entrepreneurship, I had that scarcity mindset. Like, okay, who am I going to seduce to hire me to do things because I need to be able to eat?
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, my parents are taking care of me in terms of housing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I also need to be able to do things.
Right.
So you have that perspective of I need to get XYZ done and I need to have this many opportunities come through in order for me to push forward and feel successful.
Mm.
And then once you kind of get that momentum or that mindset shift.
Wow, that's
mindset
a,
shift?
I'm mindset
tongue twister.
I wasn't even gonna say
once
it,
you change your mind.
Once you switch it up.
Once you switch it up. And you think about those opportunities will always come. You won't necessarily know what they are, but you know that opportunities will come.
Wow.
Yeah. I think once you have that mindset.
And you changed this mindset during what period?
I would say in the last 6 months.
In the last 6 months?
Yeah.
That's so recent.
Yeah. Yeah. It was literally just at the end of last year. I don't really do resolutions. I'm just like, if you're going to do the thing, just do it now. Just,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? So I don't try to put a whole lot on resolutions. But now I'm trying to do more things around setting intentions.
So going into
2019, I was like, okay, well, what do you want to do more of? I knew I wanted to do more speaking. I knew I wanted
to do
more events in certain spaces. And then it's just kind of working backwards. So how can you be in those spaces to have those opportunities? And I think another thing that sometimes we struggle with in entrepreneurship is that self-promotion piece.
Mm.
And kind of feeling like, oh, like the more I talk about all the awesome things I'm doing, the more people are going to just think I'm full of myself.
Mm.
But it's funny, once I started doing it, it actually inspired other people. Like,
yes.
I have so many conversations about, oh, how did you get here? What was your strategies? Or can you give insight on this? Or... I'm actually also interested in doing that. And then you're able to like not only have your door open for opportunities, but hold the door for other people. So that's been an amazing feeling. It's been an amazing feeling to not only feel like there's so much abundance that I can spare to help you in your abundance.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
That is how we win. Like, that is how we do it.
Yeah.
When we have this mindset that we don't have to close the door on each other's faces, but we can hold the door open.
Exactly.
For those who want to come and also collaborate with people and not feel threatened if somebody is doing literally the same exact thing that you're doing.
Yep. It's true.
When we unite and there's strength in numbers, then that's when we really have the just power to really do incredible things.
And when you're collaborating and working with the people that are generally good people, there's that whole thing about reciprocal.
Yeah.
Even with me, I have a lot of friends that are event producers. We're all doing similar things. But now when we're looking to freelance and have people work alongside us, we're just all hiring each other. So yeah. Like, I hire you to do this one thing,
yeah,
and now you hire me to do this other thing.
Yeah.
And then you're building your portfolios and your experience together because, you know, I'm not threatened by your light because
exactly.
I know that I your shine bright enough, off. Right?
I can, we could end yeah. here. Like, yes. Like, snaps. Like, that is amazing. That's mm-hmm. an amazing thing. Lizzo's, you know Lizzo.
Yeah.
Lizzo's super dope. And she said that she doesn't want to be, like, famous or anything. She just wants to have enough money to put her friends on the payroll.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's her whole thing.
That is the goal.
That's
so, like,
the goal.
Every contract, I'm like, oh, so I can hire people?
Uh-huh. Put your friends
so
on the payroll.
I look back, so who are we going to hire? Let's spice up this.
On the payroll.
Spice this up a little bit,
that's,
you know?
That's how we win. Yeah. It seems like you have a great understanding of yourself. So before we wrap up, because we're getting to the end, do you have any advice for those who also need to get there? Who aren't entrepreneurs quite yet, maybe they are, maybe they're not. Mm-hmm. But what advice would you give somebody that's listening to this right now?
I think the most imperative thing over the past year and a half has just been trying things, tasting. Like treating life like a tasting menu. Not being afraid to try new things. And I know it sounds super cliche, like try all the things and you'll find the thing that you love. But honestly, you won't know what you're good at or what you want to be a part of until you try. And for me, I spent a lot of my life volunteering for a lot of things.
Yeah.
But with that, I always had the mindset of this volunteer is an opportunity. So how can I make the best of said opportunity? So if, you know, you might be interested in a certain part of, I don't know, career, industry, whatever, it's like making those known. Mm-hmm. And I say this all the time to my volunteers too. I'm like, show up, but also show out. Like, don't just be a body that's there, you know? Like, show your personality, show, like, who you are, because that's people vibe to that and they are attracted by that. So
absolutely.
The more authentic you can be with who you are, those things will come to you. It's like a magnet.
It is.
Yeah.
And your vibe attracts your tribe. I remember Shakura, our girl Shakura, sent me that the other day, and I'm like, you already know.
it's true. Once you are the most you can be, that's when your life will start falling into place.
That's facts. Do you have anything that you'd like to promote, Carlina?
Oh, all the things. We were just talking about self-promotion, and now I'm, like, hesitating to promote things. So as I said, I'm the founder of The Biz Mixer. It's a monthly event that happens in the Peel region, so out in Brampton. I am from Mississauga, so while I work in Toronto, I am a Peel region chick, so shout out to the Peel region people out there that are in the suburbs outside of the downtown core. So we meet monthly the last Saturday of every month. So this month, on June the 29th, we will be having an amazing speaker by the name of Jamila Gamble. She's a speaking coach that focuses on how you can use your voice to basically evoke change and be a game changer. So her hashtag is Slayer of the Mic, because she does slay the mic. She's my speaking coach. So when people say, oh, you're great, it's her. She's the one who kind of helped unleash that voice. So I'm really excited for all of us to kind of get those nuggets from her of how we can use our voices in entrepreneurship and creative projects and in professional life. Like, you have a voice? She always says, do you have a voice? Can you speak? Do you have a story? Are you breathing?
Mm-hmm.
You have something to say, right? So I'm super excited for that. And then in terms of that, Mini Cake Creations, we do planning and management, doing a lot of conferences and seminars, working on some festivals. So if you do need people to plan your event, we do a lot of work right now with coaches as well. So if master classes, signature classes, a lot of our clients will come to us and be like, yeah, I have these things set up, but I'm overwhelmed, so please help us. Because the thing is too, especially if you're a host or the main educator, I find a lot of our clients, it's really hard for you to be that and also be a good host to people coming in.
Fact.
It's really hard to focus, and I think we always like to think we can multitask, but we can't do all those tasks well. So
facts.
It's almost like a stay in your lane.
This
is your lane. Let someone else take the next lane and have you covered. So yeah, those are the two things, main things I have going on. And then I'm always up to something on Instagram. So if you connect with me there at Catch Car, so that's CATCH. Is that, can I spell?
Yeah.
Catch Car here. So it's at CATCHKAR HERE.
Yeah.
That's essentially where you'll be able to find me, like where I'm at next, where I'm heading, what I'm up to. And yeah, can connect over there.
Dope. Thank you so much for coming on the Queen Series podcast, Carlina. It's been an absolute treat to talk to you.
Yeah. I feel like I had some deep talks today.
Yo, I got my entire life. That was amazing. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And if you like this episode, rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Also, check us out on our blog at www.readthequeenseries.com. And I want to leave you with this. Queens, run the world.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby.